Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Nothing says Friday like Tim McCormick during a Pistons 28-game losing skid and watching David dance the celebration behind the glass. 4 o'clock hour or 5 o'clock hour. It's the hour number 4.
You know what, Rieger? You know what I'll always remember about that losing skid?
What's that?
The day they ended it. It was almost as if,
very sad actually,
Detroiters said, I'll do anything for the Pistons to win a game, and then realize, oh, it means that a certain right. tackle was not deemed eligible. Right. All happened same day.
You're so
oh,
right.
That's right. Wow, you're right. And they yep. were both night games, were they not? I mean, that was yep. a Pistons night game. You know
Pistons
what?
Had, well, Pistons you know what? Had just won, and then all of a sudden, the Lions go to Dallas. It looks like they're going to win. No, I will always remember that day.
Why do you get so much joy out of this, Rico?
Like, I oh, don't.
You hate to see
he's
it.
A Niners Kenny, fan.
Kenny, I don't. It was just so ironic because I wanted it the other way. I wanted the Pistons to lose. I wanted the too. Record. I wanted that. And I wanted the Lions to beat the Cowboys. Come on, who likes the Cowboys? Nobody.
Well, it's funny because – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no. I agree with you because I will make the argument that Piston basketball wasn't watched as much as it was this year, like ever before. Like, I think more people watch this year during the streak once they reach 15, 16 losses in a row more than they've watched any time in the last decade. I missed the streak once it ended.
Yeah, because
then
that
just
was
like
it.
A bad basketball team. Nobody cared.
Right. That was it. It was just like, okay, I just wanted him. I wanted you to own history, and instead.
Exactly.
You couldn't even get that right.
That is so sad.
No, but it's
we
true.
We only watched because of the losing streak.
Think about that. I remember doing a show with Wojo, and Wojo's like, oh, you're such a loser. And then we ended up taking calls, and everybody agreed with us. Like, yeah, you cannot not watch. You couldn't turn away. It was very compelling. Like, there were so many games where they led, and next thing you know, they just blew it because Monty put in the bench rotation. It was fantastic. Anyway, it's the last hour of the program. We got Tiger baseball coming up. Tigers and Dodgers, you got Otani, you got Scooble. Tigers are red hot. The Dodgers are not. Sold out Comerica Park. So we'll get you up to Tiger baseball. However, I wanted to bring a little Lions in the mix because, Rico, something happened to me at a Tigers game that actually kind of blew me away. I wanted to give you this story and tell me if you think I'm on to something here. So it was the Philadelphia Phillies in town, Dave Dombrowski's bunch. I was covering one of the games. I was sitting up at the press box, and Stoney walks in. So it's me and Stoney sitting next to each other. We're talking about the kids. We're talking about, like, Stoney's Coke days. We're talking about it all, right? Next thing you know, I go to Stoney, and I'm like, Stoney, what are the chances that the Lions miss the playoffs? I asked the question simply because Stoney has done radio in Detroit forever. He understands what the Lions have done to him. Every fan gets that usually watching the Lions, it's like waiting for that other shoe to drop. Like, disaster is just around the corner. So I asked him, I'm like, what are the odds that the Lions don't make the postseason? And Stoney so quickly responded, no chance. And I'm like, really? He's like, unless there's a crazy injury, no, they are way too good to miss the playoffs. And I was taken aback by his response, not so much his answer, but how quickly he answered, simply because, again, I thought if there's one guy that would still not forget the past and wonder if the Lions have truly turned the corner, it would be Stoney. So then I was left wondering, as Stoney walked away to go to the suite to get free food, I was left wondering, are all Lions fans like this? Has the last year and a half of Lions football taken away the normal doubt we've had for this football team. In the past, it was always like, yeah, the Lions could be good, but yeah, they're going to blow it. Or, yeah, the Lions are winning, but yeah, they're going to choke this away. Or, yeah, you know, I know the Lions suck, but I'm ready to get hurt again. But over the last year and a half, it seems like fans are so confident, the doubt, the turmoil, the anxiety, it's all gone. And it's replaced with extreme confidence. So has the last year and a half, specifically even last year, has the success taken away what normally was Lions doubt? Is it all gone? Because I'll just speak for myself. It's not for me, but I think it is for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so. I think this last year, you saw yourself so close to going to the Super Bowl that, and now you're hearing how everybody is saying you're pretty, you're one of the favorites to go back to the Super Bowl. It is inconceivable that the Lions can't go and at least make the playoffs. Now that seems like a layup. Now, to me, I can't say like Stoney and just say, oh, there's no way, because it's the NFL. And, you know, let's just take injuries. Injuries happen.
Right. He did say injuries, to be fair, but go on.
But other than that, yeah, I would say it's probably like an 80% chance that they're going to make the playoffs. The only way that they wouldn't is if Green Bay takes the division and you lose the tiebreaker games to the Cowboys and to the Rams, and then you're sweating it out in the final weeks to try to get that last wild card spot. But you should be able to make the playoffs.
So you think most Lions fans, you agree with me, that the success has erased the doubt. Most Lions fans have gone from the turmoil and the angst to, oh, baby, of course we're going to make the playoffs. You're a dope if you don't think we're going back to the NFC Championship game at least. Which, Heck, by Rieger, the way, is wild to me considering the history of crap that we watched. I know they're good, but I just can't forget. Like, there was a small part of me that will always think, probably for the rest of my life, that they're going to screw it up. Just a small part.
You got to let that go. You got to let that go. It's a different team. It's, look, Holmes has brought and Campbell have brought a new regime, a new culture. It's something that everybody has attempted to do and all fallen flat on their face. Everybody kept saying, I'm going to fix this thing. I'm going to fix this team. It seems like they're in the process of getting it fixed. They've done a lot. Now they haven't reached the pinnacle yet of a Super Bowl and hoisting that trophy. But for the first time in a long time, you feel like you actually have something here, that you're actually growing. You have young players, and it's just not going to be a flash in the pan. So, yeah, I would give them about an 80% chance they're going to make the playoffs. Injuries, or, like I said, Green Bay takes over the division and you lose the tiebreaker type things, which it takes a lot for all of that to add up. So, yes, you should make it there. Now, a lot of Lions fans, yeah, because of the ineptitude of decades, you feel like, yeah, you're never going back. You're never going to change. This is how it's going to be from here on out. You're going to be one of the new elite teams. You know, it takes a lot. It takes more than just 1 year, but there's nothing you could do about this upcoming season until the season happens.
Is the ineptitude erased? Is the doubt erased for Lions fans? 248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number.
I think for Lions fans, I think it is erased. And I think there's only one reason why. Enrico, you're right. They believe in their GM. They've seen what he can do, what he's brought them. But I think that second playoff victory is what erased the history in a lot of minds of Lions fans.
So speak for the. So you're speaking for Lions fans.
Yeah,
I believe the average Lions fan, like, they have no more doubt. It's just extreme confidence.
All you heard from Lions fans were, we're never going to win another playoff game. We're never going to. Mm-hmm. So you did, and everyone's like, yeah, oh, wonderful. And then you won the second
point. Right.
And I think that
things
erased it. Like, oh my gosh, we're different.
No, and David, I'll even say this. The fact that you went out there and you had a lead going into the second half of the NFC Championship game, whereas there's a couple plays in the fourth quarter, if they go your way, you possibly are going to the Super Bowl to play a team that you had already beat earlier that year. Yes, people like Rieger will be considered haters, and you can't let go of the past. And Rieger, I will say this. Yeah, you may have to let go of that past, because sometimes teams can change. And you can't penalize a team for something that, let's face it, most of the people on the team weren't alive when the Lions were all just absolutely horrible.
And that's kind of what I was going to say, Rico, is that for most of my life, in fact, for all of my life, I was raised in the household that basically said, we're never going to win anything. You're never going to see the Lions do anything of substance. This is, you know, the Fords are bad owners and this and that and the other, which now they're clearly not, because look at how far we've come. But they've done everything that I've been told they could never even think about doing. They got to a place where they were never, ever, ever supposed to be, according to everybody that I've ever talked to in my entire life. So, yes, now, all of those doubts are gone for me.
Look at that.
Now, Kenny, I'll say this. Now, is the playoffs a foregone conclusion? No, it's never a foregone conclusion for any team. I mean, heck, Kansas City had to sweat it out last year because the year didn't go the way they planned. Now, they won the Super Bowl, but they didn't think that they were going to end up going on the road to play some games.
248-539-9797. Has the last year and a half of Lions success erased years and years and years of doubt that you had before? Seems like the answer is yes. I still can't believe it. 97 won the ticket.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Oh, everybody's happy. Everybody's enjoying a Friday. 248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. Told you about a very intimate conversation I had with Stoney. Intimate, probably the wrong word. But I asked Stoney. I said, any chance the Lions don't make the playoffs? He immediately rebuffed. And he said, no, they're going to make the playoffs. They're way too good not to. So then I started thinking, and like Rico and Kenny and David, there was Stoney. Has the last year and a half of success for the Lions erased all the doubt and the angst and the agony and the doomsday thinking that you've had over the last 40 to 50 years, or however old you are? 248-539-9797. Rico, you want to go to the phones? You want some ticket texts? What do you want to do?
Let's get a couple ticket texts first, but I'll simply say this, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that last year exercised a lot of demons, and now people like you are going to be annoying to Lions fans because all you're going to do is keep bringing back the days of, well, same old Lions.
No, I'm
like
not going to do that.
Now, you're not going full Brian Chapman.
No.
But you got to let it go. The team has moved forward, and you can't keep thinking about things that happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
No, and listen, I'm not going to bring it up. The only reason I bring it up now is because I'm curious how many people think like you guys think. I got to believe there's a lot of people like me, maybe I'm wrong, that just think like, yeah, like I love this. This is great. I have extreme confidence. However, there's still just a little bit of part of me that, because I'm used to it, think about the bad stuff that could happen. 248-539-9797. You want some ticket text, David?
Yeah, I got some ticket text here. Someone says, agree, not just the second playoff win. It was beating the Rams and Stafford and having Stafford melt down. That's why I believe this.
There you okay. go.
The Lions will regress to 9-7 and miss the playoffs. Well, that guy clearly hasn't given up the pass.
Wow.
Still worried they had a soft schedule last year. Not so this year.
See? No, and I think there's a lot of guys like that. I mean, last year they were somewhat fortunate. Last year they were healthy when it counted at the very end. I think there are some people that are like, yeah, you know, they think like that because of what's happened in the past. Let's go to Mike in Oxford. You're on the ticket. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, if the Lions don't make the playoffs, I'd love to see your interview with Sheila Hamp, Rieger. If they miss the playoffs. No.
What does that mean, Mike? Sheila is a lovely woman. I'd be very positive.
Yeah. I don't think there's much chance that they're going to miss it. Do you?
No, I don't. I think they're making the playoffs for sure. I think they're going to be great this year.
And I would say, Rico, if the Lions don't make it back to the championship game, the season is a failure. Listen, the Lions have new expectations now. And the roster is built for this. Like, we need to be more positive. More positive, guys. That's what we're talking about. Let's be like Stoney and be positive, because the thing is that, like you said, anything other than a catastrophic injury, the Lions are going to make the playoffs. And the only team that really, I think, that might be better than them, but I think their windows, you know, you can't keep getting there and losing, is the Niners. I still don't put the Bears ahead of them. The Vikings are not ahead of them. And I still, Green Bay, they have to prove it to me again. Jordan Love's got to prove it to me again. So, do you guys think the Lions are going to win the division?
Let me ask you this question. If Green Bay has to prove it to you again, why don't the Lions have to prove it to you again?
Because the Lions have they have more of a veteran presence. You know what you're getting out of Goff. It's the fact that Love has played in the NFL one full year. That's what the difference is.
Mike, I'll say this. To your first thing that you said, yes, if the Lions don't make it back to the NFC title game, hey, Detroit, welcome to the big boy club. The season will be a failure. Yes, I don't care if you win 13 games and you get bounced in the first round. It will mean nothing. Now, as far as the Packers go, yeah, I'm with David on this. If you're going to tell me that, hey, the Lions are here to stay, but the Packers got to prove themselves, that's a little hypocritical. Because I think that Jordan Love had this, you know, this great year, but it's the same reason why people think that C.J. Stroud and the Texans are good. It looks like it's going to be sustainable. It wasn't like, oh, he was a fluke type of player. He got better. If anything, the Packers kind of reminded me of the Lions at the end of 2 years ago when the Lions got hot but just missed out on the playoffs. That was the Packers. All of a sudden, everything started to gel for them. They steal a game in Dallas, which gave you the second home game in the playoffs. And just like you, they took the Niners to the final minutes of that playoff game.
So, Rico, I'm looking at this text. It says, Rieger, why even bring it up? You don't have to bring it up. It doesn't get talked about if you don't bring it up. You're still an effing troll all the time. I'm not bringing this up to be a troll.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit send.
Yeah. You know, usually you just write it, script it out, never send it. But I didn't bring it up to troll. I bring it up because I am fascinated with Lions fan psychology. I always have been. So how do you react to each season? How do you react to things now? Without a doubt, totally changing. I'm not trying to troll anybody, but I think the majority of people agree with Stoney that they're going to make the postseason. I have no more feelings of that doom and gloom.
Because it's always been a thing for Lions fans. Even when Lions had a good year.
Yes.
1995, good year.
2014.
2011 or 2012, whichever year that was, had a 11. Good year, made the playoffs. And yet everyone says, oh, well, you know, they got to do it again, or I don't believe that they're changed. But this is different.
David, you want to know why? Because I'm about to help out Rieger's argument.
It's very nice
because
of you.
In the past, the Lions would have a good year and then fall on their face the next season. And then it would depend on the strength of schedule, because they would have a weak schedule, win a lot of games, play a tough schedule, lose games. And it was like an every other year type of thing with this team, which is why a lot of people like Rieger still have the PTSD. Show me that you could do it consistently. Like, for guys like Rieger, Lions will probably have to do it 3 years in a row for them to let this go.
Well, this would kind of be 3 years. Like, they went 8-2 in their final 10 2 years ago. Then they followed that up when everybody yelled and screamed, momentum doesn't carry from year to year. They followed that up by going to the NFC title game. So if they once again are dominant, and I do expect them to be, then I think it's all gone. I think the angst is gone. Culture has changed. Life is great. But I'm going to be lying if I say it doesn't exist just a little bit. Let's pick up one call. We got time for one call? Is it Jarrell? You're on the ticket. What's up, Jarrell?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. What's up?
I'm really excited about this team. I've never in my life said the Lions are going to make the playoffs, except for the year we had Fairley and Sue and we were the number 2 D.
Right,
I really
2014.
Liked that team. Yeah, I really like that team, but I've never said the Lions were a playoff team, and I called that out last year. And a lot of my friends were laughing because I literally called out all of our draft picks. They're all guys I wanted, and the reason why I think we're actually going to take a step up, I have us winning 15 games. So those four tough games on our schedule, we should take two of them. But 2 years ago, we got all our offensive weapons. Ben Johnson, best offensive coordinator arguably in the league. Well, I mean, you got Andy Reid, but he's the head coach. Love Ben Johnson. He got his pieces, and it fit the offense well. This year was our defensive draft. We're going to take a huge step. And a buddy of mine that studies defense has made a good point. He goes, we might see seven DBs on the field at times. And against Green Bay, we're going to have to do that. I heard a couple callers, too, talk about Green Bay. That team's for real. They went into Dallas, who is a good team. Sure, they choke in the playoffs, and smacked them.
Yeah, they smoked them.
So Green Bay is someone to worry about. But they're young like we were. We collapsed against the Niners and gave them some plays. We were one or two plays away from beating a really, in my opinion, the best roster in football. And we had them on the ropes. My friends at halftime were booking their Vegas trip. You know, like it was, we're smacking the Niners. So those were young guys.
Jarrell, a lot of people were booking their Vegas trips at halftime. Trust me.
Oh, it drove me nuts, too. I was like, oh, no. I almost moneyline Niners. I couldn't, but I almost did just because it was like one of those things like, oh, my God, please, everyone, stop.
But come on. You didn't believe that's why, don't you? Don't believe that, do you?
What? No, hell no. That stuff is fairy tale bull crap. Like, not people can't change a game of an outcome across the world. No chance. We just had a young team. We're a young team, and we got really good playoff experience. And the other thing that I'm calling out, and most people think I'm crazy, hot take, whatever. J-Mo had two touchdowns in that game. J-Mo is not going to be guarded like everyone else. You got to watch Gibbs.
No, Jarrell, I think you're right, man. And we appreciate the call. We're up against it, 248-539-9797. We'll keep it rolling. People do want to talk. Has the last year and a half of Lions football erased all your doubt and angst that you usually had about this team? 97 won the ticket. All right, just to be fair.
Wow.
It's not like Jeremy Otto went on the air and divulged confidential information. No, Mark Ryan tweeted, this is from 58 minutes ago. He said, you've heard of the freshman 15, right? You gain 15 pounds when you start college. Well, I've gained the Detroit 16 since moving here 3 months ago. Best food city in America. My digital scale no longer gives a number. It just reads WTF. Send help, and not in the form of snacks.
Well, you know what? He was going on this tour and posting pictures from every place, and it was like, you know, you don't have to do this all in 2 weeks, right? Pace yourself.
That's just great. Like, Jeremy, at the break, because I told him to tweet, he's like, wait, 16 pounds? He wanted to be accurate. Before he reported it.
Let me write that down just so I have it. 16 pounds.
Right. Yeah. I need to get my facts straight about Mark Ryan's weight. That's amazing. All right. We're talking about the Lions. Has the last year and a half erased all the doubt and angst that you've normally had about this football team? People do want to talk. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Alex. You're on the ticket. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, Alex.
I have absolutely no faith in the Lions. I have so much. I have no faith at all. I was watching the playoff game with my mother-in-law, and I haven't been watching the Lions in the last few years. But I said, I'm going to give them a shot and see what they're going to do in this playoff game. And I told my mother-in-law, don't get excited, especially in the first half when they had this huge lead, this monstrous lead. I said, now you're going to get your heart broken and watch. I had so no faith, so I left and I quit watching the game at halftime, knowing what was going to happen. And sure enough, it did exactly happen, exactly what I thought it was. I'm 53 years old. I've been watching Lions for 45 years. I've seen how they lost every possible way with the Eddie Murray missed field goal versus San Francisco, the Brett Favre sharp touchdown in the playoffs back.
Okay, but Alex.
Yeah,
Alex, you also watched them win two home playoff games. Like, you still – so they got to win a Super Bowl in order for you to feel good about this team.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Campbell. He can rah-rah you to a playoff victory, but he can dumb you to a loss, and he's done it. He's totally capable – what's that?
Alex, I don't want to cut you off, but I kind of see what you're saying. Like, I don't want to be negative, but I'm going to be panned that way anyway. But, like, these are stuff the Lions have done. Like Rico said, you need to see a Super Bowl before you start to believe otherwise. But they've made an NFC title game, at least in my lifetime, before this year. And they've won playoff games before this year, even though it had been a long time. So what Alex is saying, you thought they were going to blow it, and they did. Like, that's what I'm talking about. I kind of feel the same as you. Now, I didn't think they were going to blow that game, but that doubt, that aggravating doubt is always there.
Yep, I agree 100%.
Alex, just to let you know before you get off the phone, people on text do not like what you're saying.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Here's a quick sampling of the ticket text.
He's not going to win any popularity contest. Here's the thing. The biggest thing in this upcoming playoff is the maturation of Dan Campbell. Will he change? Will he coach differently? Or will he still try to put a square peg in a round hole? Because he got out coached in the second half. It happens. Kyle Shanahan got out coached by Andy Reid in the overtime. It happens. Can you make up for your mistakes and do better? That's what I'm looking for. I think the players are going to bring that same level of intensity. The Lions' playoff success, I will agree with Alex on that. It comes down to Dan Campbell and did he learn his lessons?
Wow, three texts in a row about caller Alex. What a loser. Cut Alex that dumbass off. And in all caps, F you, Alex.
Told you they didn't like him.
It's going to come.
Here's the thing. I will give Alex credit because he says something unpopular in Detroit, but that's how he feels. And you know what? Hey, I want to hear both sides, so I'm okay with this.
I can give out Alex's phone number on air.
No, you cannot. No, don't do that. Rieger. Jesus.
It feels good that people hate somebody more than me. That feels good.
Is that how low the bar is for you?
Yeah, pretty much. Ken, wow. You're on the ticket. What's going on, Kenny?
Hey. Hello?
Hey, you're on.
Hey,
what's
Ken,
going on, dude?
You're on the air.
Hey,
take us off speaker.
I'm telling man to Rico, man.
Okay.
He's going to tell me that my Lions is going to have a failed season, even if they win 13 games. Man, that's ridiculous. Now, we might be disappointed, but as hard as it is to win one game in the NFL, if the Lions were to win 13, go to the playoffs, and then say don't necessarily make it to the championship game or go to the Super Bowl, to call the season a failure? No, that's going way too far, Rico.
Ken, it's not. Here's the thing. You graduated to the big boy table. Now you got to accept things like the big boys do. It's about winning a title. And anything less than that, your season is not a success. It's a failure. If Kansas City didn't win the title last year, season, failure. That's what championship teams are about. You can't call yourself a championship team and then lower the bar when it's convenient.
Okay, but here's my problem with that. If you're San Francisco, I get it. If you're Kansas City, I get it. But the Lions, no. The Lions, they ain't at the big boy table yet.
Yeah, but Kenny.
They might be trying to sit there.
See, you don't want to. It's kind of like you're having your cake and eating it, too. You're going to celebrate them trying to be a Super Bowl caliber team. But if they don't make it, you're going to be like, yeah, well, we're not to that caliber.
We're not ready yet.
Right. So what Rico's saying is you got to commit. Like, they're either a Super Bowl caliber team or you're kind of falling into what I fall into that maybe they're going to blow it eventually. And you can't get rid of that doubt you've always had.
But they don't have enough cachet to be putting them in that kind of category. They only made the playoffs for the first time, but in a long time. To turn around and say that all of a sudden now is a disappointment. I mean, not disappointment, I'm sorry.
No, failure.
Disappointment is my word. I say disappointment. Would I be disappointed? Oh, yeah, I'd be disappointed. But to call them a failure, the Lions, and look, we've been waiting for them to turn into a winner.
Hold on. Ken, here's why I promise you would change your mind. Because, and I don't want this to happen, but if they lose the first game in the playoffs, after winning 13 games, you're going to sit there and say, what the heck was this season all about? You know who's saying their season was a failure? The Baltimore Ravens. Did everything. Had the league MVP and lost at home in the AFC Championship game. They're not saying, well, you know, I'm a little disappointed. No, what the heck did we do all of this for? This season was a failure.
Your 49ers is saying it's a failure.
It is a horrible season, a absolute failure, David. And they went to overtime.
Yes.
And it's still a failure of a season. Nobody sits there and says, well, you know, nobody thought we would go this far, and that is Patrick Mahomes. It's like, bruh, you had a chance and you blew it. Season failure.
Yeah, that's being kind of a soft fan. That's what it is. It's being afraid to really say, oh, yeah, it's a failure if we don't win at all, because I can always fall back on, well, we're the Lions. We have a crappy right. track record. Not a big deal. Still a success. But now, here's the crazy thing.
We love you, but, yeah, this is a big boy team now. You got to do big boy things.
Well, considering the owner, Sheila Ford Hamp, said Super Bowl expectations, and Dan Campbell said Super Bowl or bust.
Every player seems to be talking about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Aiden Hutchinson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kerryon Arnold, Joseph. Exactly.
So you lose, you win 13 games and lose in the opening round. This season's a failure.
100%.
And trust me, I'm not saying that I want this to happen. I think it's going to happen. But realistically speaking, yes, that's what it is. I agree with the – you got to at least get back to the NFC Championship game. You got to get back to the scene of the crime. And if you lose that, it's disappointing. Some may deem it a failure. But if you lose in the opening round, come on. After winning 13 games, come on.
248-539-9797, the ticket text, the exact same number, 97-1 the ticket.
I'll start the big finish, how we started the show. Rico was worried about relationships, and he wanted to know, where will people find the time for the new NCAA 25? He believes families will be broken up.
Not broken up, David, but I do think that, you know what? You're going to have to sacrifice some quality time with the wife or kids in order to play the game, or you're just not going to be sleeping. While they're sleeping, you're going to be playing the game. I don't think you're just going to eat dinner and then walk and say, hey, guys, I'll see you in a few hours. I'm going to go play this game.
We're going to do a station tournament. We have to, correct? With all the buzz, and we have to see.
You would winner, think so, yeah.
Winner gets, like, I don't know. Like a 97-1 the ticket t-shirt, maybe?
I don't know. We can see, but one thing you do want, though, is a GoFundMe for Rico for the game,
right.
The system, everything.
Yeah, guys,
right?
Rico is struggling financially. No, he's not, but he doesn't want to drop the $1,000 that it's going to cost to get the system and the game and the controllers. So I have, in the last 4 hours, I've established a GoFundMe. It's called Sparty Sucks Help Rico. Go there right now and donate to Rico Beard.
Or sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
All right, just to be fair.
Wow.
It's not like Jeremy Otto went on the air and divulged confidential information. No, Mark Ryan tweeted, this is from 58 minutes ago. He said, you've heard of the freshman 15, right? You gain 15 pounds when you start college. Well, I've gained the Detroit 16. Since moving here 3 months ago, best food city in America, my digital scale no longer gives a number. It just reads WTF. Send help, and not in the form of snacks.
Well, you know what? He was going on this tour and posting pictures from every place. And it was like, you know, you don't have to do this all in 2 weeks, right? Pace yourself.
It's just great. Like Jeremy at the break, because I told him the tweet. He's like, wait, 16 pounds? He wanted to be accurate before he reported it.
Let me write that down just so I have it. 16 pounds.
Right. Yeah. I need to get my facts straight about Mark Ryan's weight. That's amazing. All right. We're talking about the Lions. Has the last year and a half erased all the doubt and angst that you've normally had about this football team? People do want to talk. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Alex. You're on the ticket. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, Alex.
I have absolutely no faith in the Lions. I have so much. I have no faith at all. I was watching the playoff game with my mother-in-law, and I haven't been watching the Lions in the last few years, but I said, I'm going to give them a shot and see what they're going to do in this playoff game. And I told my mother-in-law, don't get excited. especially in the first half when they had this huge lead, this monstrous lead. I said, now you're going to get your heart broken and watch. I had no faith, so I left and I quit watching the game at halftime knowing what was going to happen. And sure enough, it did exactly happen, exactly what I thought it was. I'm 53 years old. I've been watching Lions for 45 years. I've seen how they lost every possible way with the Eddie Murray missed field goal versus San Francisco, the Brett Favre sharp touchdown in the playoffs back.
Okay, but Alex, you also watched them win two home playoff games. Like, you still – so they got to win the Super Bowl in order for you to feel good about this team.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Campbell. He can rah-rah you to a playoff victory, but he can dumb you to a loss, and he's done it. He's totally capable – What's that?
Alex, I don't want to cut you off, but I kind of see what you're saying. Like, I don't want to be negative, but I'm going to be paying that way anyway. But, like, these are stuff the Lions have done. Like Rico said, you need to see a Super Bowl before you start to believe otherwise. But they've made an NFC title game, at least in my lifetime, before this year. And they've won playoff games before this year, even though it had been a long time. So what Alex is saying, you thought they were going to blow it, and they did. Like, that's what I'm talking about. I kind of feel the same as you. Now, I didn't think they were going to blow that game, but that doubt, that aggravating doubt is always there.
Yep, I agree 100%.
Alex, just to let you know before you get off the phone, people on text do not like what you're saying.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Here's a quick sampling of the ticket text.
He's not going to win any popularity contest. Here's the thing. The biggest thing in this upcoming playoff is the maturation of Dan Campbell. Will he change? Will he coach differently? Or will he still try to put a square peg in a round hole? Because he got out coached in the second half. It happens. Kyle Shanahan got out coached by Andy Reid in the overtime. It happens. Can you make up for your mistakes and do better? That's what I'm looking for. I think the players are going to bring that same level of intensity. The Lions playoff success, I will agree with Alex on that. It comes down to Dan Campbell and did he learn his lessons?
Wow, three texts in a row about caller Alex. What a loser. Cut Alex that dumbass off. And in all caps, F you, Alex.
Told you they didn't like him.
It's going to come.
Here's the thing. I will give Alex credit because he says something unpopular in Detroit, but that's how he feels. And you know what? Hey, I want to hear both sides, so I'm okay with this.
I can give out Alex's phone number on air.
No, you cannot. No, don't do that, Rieger. Jesus.
It feels good that people hate somebody more than me. That feels good.
Is that how low the bar is for you?
Yeah, pretty much. Ken, you're on the ticket. What's going on, Kenny?
Hey. Hello?
Hey, you're on.
Hey,
what's
Ken,
going on, dude?
You're on the air.
Hey,
take us off speaker.
I'm giving exception, man, to Rico, man.
Okay.
He's going to tell me that my Lions is going to have a failed season, even if they win 13 games. Man, that's ridiculous. Now, we might be disappointed, but as hard as it is to win one game in the NFL, if the Lions were to win 13, go to the playoffs, and then say don't necessarily make it to the championship game or go to the Super Bowl, to call the season a failure? No, that's going way too far, Rico.
Ken, it's not. Here's the thing. You graduated to the big boy table. Now you got to accept things like the big boys do. It's about winning a title. And anything less than that, your season is not a success. It's a failure. If Kansas City didn't win the title last year, season, failure. That's what championship teams are about. You can't call yourself a championship team and then lower the bar when it's convenient.
Okay, but here's my problem with that. If you're San Francisco, I get it. If you're Kansas City, I get it. But the Lions, no. The Lions, they ain't at the big boy table yet.
Yeah, but Kenny.
They might be trying to get there.
See, you don't want to. It's kind of like you're having your cake and eating it, too. You're going to celebrate them trying to be a Super Bowl caliber team. But if they don't make it, you're going to be like, yeah, well, we're not to that caliber.
We're not ready yet.
Right. So what Rico's saying is you got to commit. Like, they're either a Super Bowl caliber team or you're kind of falling into what I fall into that maybe they're going to blow it eventually. And you can't get rid of that doubt you've always had.
But they don't have
a long, they don't have enough cachet to be putting them in that kind of category. They only made the playoffs for the first time, but in a long time. To turn around and say that all of a sudden now it's a disappointment. I mean, not disappointment, I'm sorry.
No, failure.
Disappointment is my word. I say disappointment. Would I be disappointed? Oh, yeah, I'd be disappointed. But to call them a failure? The Lions? And look, we've been waiting for them to turn into a winner?
Ken, hold on.
Ken, here's why I promise you, you would change your mind. Because, and I don't want this to happen, but if they lose the first game in the playoffs, after winning 13 games, you're going to sit there and say, what the heck was this season all about? You know who's saying their season was a failure? The Baltimore Ravens.
Did everything.
Had the league MVP and lost at home in the AFC Championship game. They're not saying, well, you know, I'm a little disappointed. No, what the heck did we do all of this for? This season was a failure.
Your 49ers is saying it's a failure.
It is a horrible season. A absolute failure, David. And they went to overtime.
Yes.
And it's still a failure of a season. Nobody sits there and says, well, you know, nobody thought we would go this far. And that is Patrick Mahomes. It's like, bruh, you had a chance and you blew it. Season failure.
Yeah, that's being kind of a soft fan. That's what it is. It's being afraid to really say, oh, yeah, it's a failure if we don't win at all, because I can always fall back on, well, we're the Lions. We have a crappy track record. Not a big deal. Still a success. But here's the crazy thing.
We love you, but yeah, this is a big boy team now. You got to do big boy things.
Well, considering the owner, Sheila Ford Hamp, said Super Bowl expectations, and Dan Campbell said Super Bowl or bust.
Every player seems to be talking about it.
Exactly. Aiden Hutchinson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kerryon Joseph. Exactly.
So you lose, you win 13 games and lose in the opening round. This season's a failure.
100%.
And trust me, I'm not saying that I want this to happen. I think it's going to happen. But realistically speaking, yes, that's what it is. I agree with you got to at least get back to the NFC Championship game. You got to get back to the scene of the crime. And if you lose that, it's disappointing. Some may deem it a failure. But if you lose in the opening round, come on. After winning 13 games, come on.
248-539-9797, the ticket text, the exact same number, 97-1 the ticket.
I'll start the big finish, how we started the show. Rico was worried about relationships, and he wanted to know, where will people find the time for the new NCAA 25? He believes families will be broken up.
Not broken up, David, but I do think that, you know what? You're going to have to sacrifice some quality time with the wife or kids in order to play the game, or you're just not going to be sleeping. While they're sleeping, you're going to be playing the game. I don't think you're just going to eat dinner and then walk and say, hey, guys, I'll see you in a few hours. I'm going to go play this game.
We're going to do a station tournament. We have to, correct? With all the buzz, and we have to see.
You would winner, think so, yeah.
Winner gets like, I don't know. Like a 97-1 the ticket t-shirt, maybe?
I don't know. We can see. But one thing you do want, though, is a GoFundMe for Rico for the game, right. The system, everything.
Yeah, guys,
right?
Rico is struggling financially. No, he's not. But he doesn't want to drop the $1,000 that it's going to cost to get the system and the game and the controllers. So I have, in the last 4 hours, I've established a GoFundMe. It's called Sparty Sucks Help Rico. Go there right now and donate to Rico Beard.
Or, you know what? I'll offer an Airbnb for those who get put out of their house when their spouse says, either it's a game or me, and you choose the game. Yeah, I'll go ahead and put you up for a week, and that'll pay for the... You know what? I will have enough money in probably 4 days.
Hey,
I'll
Rico,
have money.
Can you do me a favor and reserve that room for me for about next week and maybe the week after that too?
Oh, no, because you're Big Bad Rieger and you're just going to walk in there and lay down the law. Daddy's going to be doing this, and if you guys don't like it, then you know what? You can hit the bricks.
Well, again, can you get me that room?
What you can get a GoFundMe for, and everyone may need a GoFundMe for this, is to watch every NFL game this season. It will cost you $135 a month times 5, which means $670 total to watch every game this year. Is it pricing out the average fan?
I think when you see those numbers, it seems that way. But realistically speaking, no, because the average fan will be able to watch their local team free on regular television for most of the games. There will be some that they will have to go and watch on a streaming app. But we're talking average fans, David, not hardcore. No, I don't think that that number will really be the number that they would have to pay. I think it's going to be a lot less than that.
Yeah, the bottom line is, I think we're bitching and moaning right now about it, like we did Michigan State being on the Peacock. But when it matters the most, seconds before the game, and you got to bet on the game or you want to watch the game, and it's the only NFL game on at that time, you are going to bite the bullet and you're going to buy the streaming service. And then you're going to cancel it or forget to cancel it, and that's what they hope you to do, and then you'll lose more money.
One thing we learned on the show today is that you talk about when it does matter. When it does matter, Rieger shoots and Rieger scores.
Oh, that's right. What are
we talking about? He took his Seattle spiel and it worked.
Oh, that's right.
You know what? Nope, not doing this. Next.
Rico.
Next.
Rico. That's true. What? Yeah. That's true. Now, that might have been a little uncalled for.
I'll move on.
David, yes. Yeah, please move on.
I would definitely. Oh, nope. That's enough, Jeff.
Come on, I've got a whole show without using this damn board. It's been right here calling for me to use it. Can I use it?
I'm going
to. No. Okay, Jeff.
I'm about to turn it off.
I was about to say, you better hope your wife's not listening. David, let's save this man.
Here's what I'll go into next, because he is on my TV screen right now. It is Paul Skeens. He was named the starter for the All-Star game, but yesterday he was pulled from the game after throwing 92 pitches. He had a no-hitter, though. 99, I'm sorry.
11 strikeouts, no-hitter through 7, and I, for one, am sick of it. I think it's ridiculous. I can't take it anymore. It's not just Skeens. He's just the latest. Baseball's got a problem with this whole pitch count crap, and that's exactly what it is. It's crap. Guys are going to get injured, but I don't think Paul Skeens was going to get injured if he threw 20 more pitches and, God forbid, went for, I know, history. And even if he was going to get injured, it's probably going to happen regardless. Clean up your act, baseball.
Pretty much. I think it was a travesty. This is where analytics come in, and it ruins the fun out of the game and the spirit of the game, because you're so worried about numbers and this is what could happen, and potential injuries. Sometimes you just got to let history happen in front of you. Let the guy go out there. If somebody gets a hit off of him, great. You take him out of the game. But you have to let this kid go for greatness. Imagine to say you threw a no-hitter in your rookie season.
Well, speaking of letting a kid go for greatness, Ohtani is in town. And it is must-see right now. I believe there's only
standing. Hey, what are the betting odds on that?
For the Tigers?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Ohtani. I was about to say.
Good for you, Rico.
Oh, got you.
We went a whole hour talking Ohtani.
There wasn't one bookie comment.
Nicely done, Rico.
But he's in town, and what are your must-see athletes?
I don't think his bookie is in town, though.
No, it's not. What are your must-see athletes today? Wimby came up, and Scotty Scheffler's name came up.
That's right. Even Alex Ovechkin, because he's going to break Wayne Gretzky's record.
De La Cruz.
Yep.
Yeah. There's just a handful of people, not a lot, though.
Not a lot. You're right. We also talked about the Lions. Have the Lions erased all of your doubts? But I think the bigger thing we talked about today, and as we get into Tiger baseball, into your weekend,
oh, it's definitely
everyone
bigger.
Wants to be like Mark Ryan and gain 16 pounds. Everyone needs to enjoy their weekend. Enjoy your Detroit-style pizza, whatever you want to eat. Enjoy it as you watch Tiger baseball. 97 won the ticket. I'll start the big finish how we started the show. Rico was worried about relationships, and he wanted to know, where will people find the time for the new NCAA 25? He believes families will be broken up.
Not broken up, David, but I do think that, you know what? You're going to have to sacrifice some quality time with the wife or kids in order to play the game, or you're just not going to be sleeping. While they're sleeping, you're going to be playing the game. I don't think you're just going to eat dinner and then walk and say, hey, guys, I'll see you in a few hours. I'm going to go play this game.
We're going to do a station tournament. We have to, correct? With all the buzz, and we have to see.
You would
winner,
think so, yeah.
Winner gets like, I don't know, like a 97 won the ticket t-shirt maybe?
I don't know. We can see, but one thing you do want, though, is a GoFundMe for Rico for the game, right. The system, everything.
Yeah, guys,
right?
Rico is struggling financially. No, he's not, but he doesn't want to drop the $1,000 that it's going to cost to get the system and the game and the controllers. So I have, in the last 4 hours, I've established a GoFundMe. It's called Sparty Sucks Help Rico. Go there right now and donate to Rico Beard.
Or, you know what? I'll offer an Airbnb for those who get put out of their house when their spouse says, either it's a game or me, and you choose the game. Yeah, I'll go ahead and put you up for a week, and that'll pay for the... You know what? I will have enough money in probably 4 days.
Hey,
I'll
Rico,
have money.
Can you go, yeah. Do me a favor and reserve that room for me for about next week and maybe the week after that, too?
Oh, no, because you're Big Bad Rieger, and you're just going to walk in there and lay down the law. Daddy's going to be doing this, and if you guys don't like it, then you know what? You can hit the bricks.
Well, again, can you get me that room?
What you can get a GoFundMe for, and everyone may need a GoFundMe for this, is to watch every NFL game this season. It will cost you $135 a month times five, which means $670 total to watch every game this year. Is it pricing out the average fan?
I think when you see those numbers, it seems that way. But realistically speaking, no, because the average fan will be able to watch their local team free on regular television for most of the games. There will be some that they will have to go and watch on a streaming app. But we're talking average fans, David, not hardcore. No, I don't think that number will really be the number that they would have to pay. I think it's going to be a lot less than that.
Yeah, the bottom line is, I think we're bitching and moaning right now about it, like we did Michigan State being on the Peacock. But when it matters the most, seconds before the game, and you got to bet on the game or you want to watch the game, and it's the only NFL game on at that time, you are going to bite the bullet and you're going to buy the streaming service. And then you're going to cancel it or forget to cancel it, and that's what they hope you to do, and then you'll lose more money.
One thing we learned on the show today is that you talk about when it does matter. When it does matter, Rieger shoots, and Rieger scores.
Oh, that's right. What are
he
we talking
took
about?
His Seattle spiel, and it worked.
Oh, that's right.
You know what? Nope, not doing this. Next.
No. Next. No, Rico.
Next.
Rico. That's true.
What?
Yeah. That's true. Now, that might have been a little uncalled for.
I'll move on.
I'll move on. David, yes. Yeah, please move on.
I would definitely. Oh, nope. That's enough, Jeff.
Come on, I've got a whole show without using this damn board. It's been right here calling for me to use it. Can I use it?
I'm going
to. No. Okay, Jeff.
I'm about to turn it off.
I was about to say, you better hope your wife's not listening. David, let's save this man.
Here's what I'll go into next, because he is on my TV screen right now. It is Paul Skeens. He was named the starter for the All-Star game, but yesterday he was pulled from the game after throwing 92 pitches. He had a no-hitter, though. 99, I'm sorry.
11 strikeouts, no-hitter through seven, and I, for one, am sick of it. I think it's ridiculous. I can't take it anymore. It's not just Skeens. He's just the latest. Baseball's got a problem with this whole pitch count crap, and that's exactly what it is. It's crap. Guys are going to get injured. But I don't think Paul Skeens was going to get injured if he threw 20 more pitches and, God forbid, went for, I know, history. And even if he was going to get injured, it's probably going to happen regardless. Clean up your act, baseball.
Pretty much. I think it was a travesty. This is where analytics come in, and it ruins the fun out of the game and the spirit of the game, because you're so worried about numbers and this is what could happen, and potential injuries. Sometimes you just got to let history happen in front of you. Let the guy go out there. If he if he hit, I mean, if somebody gets a hit off of him, great, you take him out of the game. But you have to let this kid go for greatness. Imagine to say you threw a no-hitter in your rookie season.
Well, speaking of letting the kid go for greatness, Ohtani is in town. And it is must-see right now. I believe there's only
standing. Hey, what are the betting odds on that?
For the Tigers?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Ohtani. I was about to say.
Good for you, Rico.
Oh, got you.
Good. We went a whole hour talking Ohtani.
And that didn't happen.
One bookie comment. Nicely done, Rico.
But he's in town. And what are your must-see
athletes? I don't
think
his bookie is in town, though.
No, it's not. What are your must-see athletes today? Wimby came up and Scotty Scheffler's name came up.
That's right. Even Alex Ovechkin, because he's going to break Wayne Gretzky's record.
De La Cruz.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're there's just a handful of people, not a lot, though.
Not a lot. You're right. We also talked about the Lions. Have the Lions erased all of your doubts? But I think the bigger thing we talked about today, and as we get into Tiger baseball, into your weekend,
oh, it's definitely
everyone
bigger.
Wants to be like Mark Ryan and gain 16 pounds. Everyone needs to enjoy their weekend. Enjoy your Detroit-style pizza, whatever you want to eat. Enjoy it as you watch Tiger baseball. 97.1 The Ticket.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.